Time for a Gaza Corner, which we do every Saturday night around this time. A lot of the time it's about Palestine and Israel, but not tonight. Everyone knows about the war in Syria, the ongoing conflict in Iraq, but relatively little attention is paid to the ongoing war in the southeast of Turkey, which is being waged by the Turkish state against the Kurds. Let me briefly give you a little background. You can go back to the founding of Turkey in 1923, the founding father of Turkey, Ataturk. At that time, the Kurds were a presence in the area for over 1,000 years, well before the Turks ever arrived. And Ataturk wanted it to be kind of a monolithic society, despite all the ethnic minorities in Turkey. And the Kurds had their language and customs suppressed from the get-go. They were also victims of horrific massacres. Kurdish schools, organizations, and publications were forbidden. Even the words Kurd and Kurdistan were prohibited for a good long time in Turkey. And then in 1984, the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, aimed to reverse this through guerrilla warfare, and there's been an on-again, off-again war with the government that has cost at least 30,000 lives. President Erdogan of Turkey reignited the war last summer in a cynical political ploy to entrench himself in power, which succeeded. He's now more powerful than ever. Dutch journalist Frederike Gerdink wrote in a recent column that the fighting in the southeast is no longer just in rural areas, but in towns and cities, with increasing numbers of civilians being killed or internally displaced. Whole villages and neighborhoods are being reduced to rubble. And we'll be talking about one of those towns very shortly. More than 1,000 people have been killed, as many as 350,000 people displaced, this according to the International Crisis Group. The scene in cities such as Cizre, C-I-Z-R-E, the scene is reminiscent of the devastation that was seen in Gaza after Israel's bombardment in 2014. Yet the world doesn't seem to be aware of it. Frederike Gerdink was the only foreign journalist based in the region until she was expelled by Turkey in September last year. Her expulsion was a sign that the Turkish state cares increasingly less about what the EU thinks of human rights violations in Turkey. The New York Times has an excellent article, May the 24th. It's called Behind the Barricades of Turkey's Hidden War. And I'll quote, "Much of the violence has been hidden from public view by state censorship and military, quote-unquote, curfews," which are really much worse than just what a curfew may be, something that you think of in our country. The Times goes on to say, "Curfew, as a word, as a government word that scarcely conveys the reality of tanks encircling a Kurdish town and drilling it with shell fire for weeks or months on end. The conflict has revived and in some ways exceeded the worst days of the war with the Turkish state, with the PKK in the 1990s. Quote, "Journalists are strictly barred by the Turkish government from reporting on the insurgency, and even the mildest expression of sympathy for the rebels can earn a prison sentence. As a result, what has happened behind the barricades and under curfew has gone largely unreported," unquote. My hope in the brief time here that I'll devote to this is that Gaza Corner puts a human face on the death and destruction happening in Turkey right now. It breaks my heart to see Turkey's southeast, including Mardin and Şırnak provinces and the historic old city of Diyarbakır, which houses historic monuments dating back to 400 BC and various UNESCO World Heritage sites. It's become war zone, with towns and cities ruined, including so much of the old town of Diyarbakir ruined. I visited this area with the Tangents Turkey music groups that I took to Turkey over the years. And these are among my fondest experiences in Turkey. And it's shameful that the United States and European countries, such as France and Germany and the UK, they've relied on the Kurds to fight the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq, but have done nothing to force Turkey's hand in its genocidal militarism against the Kurds. In the town of Nusaybin, which is right on the Syrian border, but close to Mardin, where I've spent a lot of time, state forces have been shelling its neighborhoods from armored vehicles as a 24-hour curfew has entered its 75th day and counting. And again, curfew is a polite term for siege, essentially closing that town that's under a curfew to the outside world where all kinds of killing and destruction occurs. Nuriye Akdoğan, A-K-D-O-G-A-N-G, is silent, had to leave Nusaybin, and she lives with her family now in Kiziltepe. Quote, "We didn't want to leave our home. However, we saw that they killed everyone during the last ban, and we had to leave Nusaybin. We left our heart in Nusaybin," unquote. I read an article from the Jinha News Service, J-I-N-H-A, dated May 18th. It said in Şırnak, which is located right between the Syrian and Iraqi border in Turkey, it said Turkish state forces were burning the houses in the neighborhoods as its siege of the city has been ongoing since at least March. For residents of Şırnak, it's kind of like the blackest type of deja vu. Let's go back to the 1990s. August 18th, 1992, Turkish forces attacked Şırnak, killing 54 people, mostly children and women. 20,000 out of the 20,000 out of the 25,000 residents have fled the city. This, according to a report from Amnesty International. During the operation, a curfew was imposed, and when it finally ended, the whole city was in ruins. Fast forward to now. The destruction that has befallen the city of Çizre, which is in Şırnak province, and Çizre is right again near the Iraqi-Syrian border in Turkey. I want to focus on Çizre for a moment. Çizre was subjected to a round-the-clock lockdown for 79 straight days from December 14th to March 2nd. And then the so-called curfew was partially lifted, but as far as I know, still remains in place at night. All entry to the town was completely blocked. It was impossible for any human rights groups, for example, to enter to monitor the clashes, which was occurring between the Turkish security forces and the civil protection units known as the YPS, associated with the PKK. Media coverage was also extremely limited and easily manipulated by the state. Most residents had to leave their homes and sought shelter in neighboring provinces, towns, and villages with relatives. If you're interested in the subject, I urge you, I'm going to send links to Harry. I didn't have time to put them on the homepage yet, but Harry will put them on the playlist. There is a report in a PDF file by a Turkish organization known as the Association for Human Rights and Solidarity for the Oppressed, called Mazlumdur. It issued a report on the human rights violations in Çizre. I'll touch on one horrific incident that has been largely ignored in the Western press, and the info stems from this report, which is going to be linked both at the Tangents homepage and on the playlist. Large-scale attacks were staged on neighborhoods in Çizre by tanks and artillery. Young people were allegedly arrested and subjected to torture. The report is not sure how many people were killed. Its best guess is between upwards of 300. However, about 175 of those 300 were burned to death intentionally by Turkish security forces in three basements where mostly civilians were trapped and denied assistance. It is this mass murder by the Turkish state that, in my opinion, must be brought to light in the mainstream press, particularly the Western media, and Turkey needs to be held accountable. As for the people trapped in these basements, the report believes there were many young university students who came. They were bussed into Cizre for solidarity just one day before the curfew was imposed. They were unable to leave Cizre. In fact, their buses were burned by the government. It is claimed that the basements were deliberately set ablaze, as were the buses, by the security forces. The report estimates that the number of those young people burned to death is between 40 and 50 young people. This is a quote from the report by an HDP party official. His name is Faysal Sarıyıldız. He's from the HDP party, which is a pro-Kurdish party. Quote, "The police generally did not allow ambulances to go to the places where there were injured people throughout the entire curfew. When 62 people were trapped in the second basement floor, and there were no deaths as of then, one of the people there named Mehmet Tunç called me and said, quote, we are trapped here. Mortars are being fired here at the moment. Most of the people here are civilians. We want these people to be taken to hospital. Then the communication was cut. He called me again, quoting Faysal. He called me again the next day and said nine people inside the basement had been burnt. He said some of those people were heavily injured. I made efforts for their transfer to hospital, but I failed. At that time, some media outlets began to run stories saying, and let me just say my two cents, this was completely false, as it turned out, but this is what they were saying. Ambulances were being sent for those trapped in basements, but PKK members were not allowing the ambulances to enter the neighborhoods, unquote. Again, that was not the case. Quoting Faysal, I told this to the people trapped in basements, thinking that perhaps the ambulances were being made to wait at the beginning of the street. After a while, I was told, quote, Mr. Deputy, you told us to go out. A 16-year-old boy named Ibrahim Gun went out of the basement, but he was shot and killed. I see him from the window of the basement, and weapons continue to be fired on him, unquote. I'll stop here. Again, the PDF file of this report is available for you to check out. We'll have the link at the Tangents homepage and on the playlist. The two main articles besides, well, the main article really is the New York Times article, which goes into detail. The reporter actually goes behind the scenes, sneaks into both Nusaybin and then goes into Cizre, and the article is about his meeting with the Kurdish resistance. It's called Barricades of Turkey's Hidden War. Gaza Corner tonight features one of the great voices for Kurdish rights. He's been singing and performing since the early 1970s. And I believe he's still in exile. I'm not sure I'm up to date on that, but he was in exile in Germany for a long time. I believe he still is. His name is Sivan Perwer. On 91.7, this is Gaza Corner.
من يخزيتوني من حواليك وسلامك ومن يخزيتوني حوالي شيخ خانمك قلم سفين بيرم بر شورك معبي قرد سر قلم سفين بيرم بر يا ريم عبي خست سر بخودی چی بوسیدم قربان همین کرد وقت در بدر بخودی چی بوسیدم منو کرد وقت در بدر حیران بو تو آوریم تی بر بو هی وی کافری لخو بردو بو تو آوریم تی بر بو
Lam 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 l
Gaza Corner tonight is about the hidden war in the southeast in Turkey, a war that is not being covered much by the Western media. And I also discussed a absolutely horrific mass murder committed by Turkish security forces, burning close to 200 people to death as they were in basements seeking refuge and burned to death. The featured artist on Gaza Corner tonight is one of the most important Kurdish singers, and he is Shivan Perver, who at the age of 21 was forced to go into exile and lived in Germany until 2013, when actually when it was conceivable there was going to be peace and an agreement between the PKK and Turkey, he returned and returned to Diyarbakir, the spiritual capital of the Kurds. But that peace was absolutely blown to tatters by the president of Turkey, Erdogan, this past summer, when he unilaterally decided to torpedo any chance for peace and restart the war. Let's do one more from this really legendary singer, poet. Also, he's the one playing the stringed instrument known as the balama or the saz. Shivan Perver on
91.7. Hey, yenim be yenim, kejama be yenim, avcımın da lava dolu.